Jesus. Let us listen to God's word. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe when I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Nicodemus, a religious leader, comes to Jesus at night for fear of being seen approaching this man named Jesus. He comes bearing questions. He has observed and heard the things that Jesus has done, and so he knows him to be wise, to be learned, as he is. So he poses to him, how is it that one can talk and speak of seeing the kingdom of God? And Jesus responds, "You must be born again." Well, Nicodemus is smart enough to know that that can't happen. Once you're born, you're born. You're here. How can anyone be thought to be born once more? But Jesus was talking about a different kind of being born anew, being born from above. And Nicodemus, as smart as he was, just did not understand what Jesus was talking about. He was bewildered, lost in his own thought. Not unlike many of us, we get a certain notion about something that we think is right and correct. And no matter what someone else says to us, please don't confuse me with the facts. I've already made up my mind. I've already had that settled for myself. Please don't disturb the water. We all like to feel confident and comfortable in our own sense of what we know and how we've come to know it. And we're glad to share it with you, and you can gladly agree with us, but please don't suggest that somehow I may be short of my thinking, and there may be another perspective in which to view things from. But that, in fact, is exactly what Jesus is talking about. You must be born again, born from above. You must see it from a heavenly point of view. Nicodemus goes away quietly. Now that's a contrast to the person we hear in the Old Testament lesson, Uzziah, or the prophet Isaiah, who literally is in the temple. He understands the magnificence of God's glory. He is taken aback by it. It is awesome. And yet, he realizes in light of who God is, he is so far short of all that he should be. And he knows that he's not worthy. But he's yet somehow seen God and lived. And he wonders how this is possible. But yet God makes it possible for him. God sends an angel to him with a burning coal that touches his lips and literally makes him clean again. Clears away all that is should not be present in his life. It makes him new and an open vessel for how God might use his speech in the future. And as we know, as time passes, Isaiah becomes one of the greatest prophets in all of Israel's history. He speaks clean and clear of truth. He speaks wisdom to power with no fear. He with courage says that which God wants the people of God to hear and challenges them to think differently. One's a prophet who accepts the commission to share God's word. The other is a person of God's word who's unsure of what's been said. Unsure what to share with others because he does not understand himself, the message which he has received. Contrasts and characters, both learned, religious, thoughtful, caring. But yet, before we get too judgmental, we understand that there are times when we get stuck in ourselves and we see circumstances and we have a chance to speak and we are afraid to share what we know. I think the Me Too movement is a fascinating one, and it reminds us that all of us find ourselves in situations where we can choose whether to speak or not. I've heard it said by some that all that's just locker room talk. Well, not in the locker rooms I've been in. And I've been in locker rooms all my life as an athlete. I guarantee you the first time somebody spoke disparagingly about women in our midst, we clamped down on them. We spoke to them and said, we're not going to have that here. That's something that now very much needs to be reminded for us to do. Because we all find ourselves at the water table and drinking fountain with people sharing stories and offhanded jokes. And we don't embarrass ourselves, so we sit quietly. But is that what God wants us to do, sit quietly? Or speak what's wrong and say, that's not right. We should not talk to others and about others that way. There are those in our community we know are disadvantaged by no purpose of their own. Born of circumstances, a little less advantaged than we are, who are looking for opportunity, who may not have that outfit to wear for that job interview, and so they appear to not be like the rest of us. And so others are given pause. Yet when one pays attention long enough to listen to the compassion fervor of this person and their interest in that which they're there to interview, we discover they have great promise and potential. Can we get by it to see who they are beyond outer trim? There are people in our culture who just don't have voice. Nobody listens to them. They have no status, they have no position. Yet they have need, they have desires, they have wants. Who's going to go for them? Who's going to speak on their behalf? Who's going to stand strong and advocate for their concerns and their wishes and their needs and desires? I think so much of what these passages are talking about today is the sense of what it means to get courage that does not come from within, but courage that comes from without, that even comes from above, from the God who loves us in Christ, who says to us, you are worthy of God's love. You are worthy of opportunity. You are worthy to be treated with respect and honor and given the promise of privilege and opportunity. But you hear in this holy setting of Isaiah in the temple that after his lips are clean, Jesus or God says, who will go for me? Who can I send? Isaiah understands. He says, send me. I'll go. He understands that there's a commission for him to accept. There's an opportunity for him to serve. And what a glorious thing. faith to be able to do that, to take that opportunity and speak boldly and confidently of that which troubles and concerns you and others. There's a lot of quietness going on in our culture. Quietness in some quadrants who hear others boldly say things, outrageous things, with no basis of fact or reason, but somehow they are granted a pass that it's okay to speak that way about others. If I spoke that way when I was growing up, I guarantee a soap would be in my mouth faster than you can imagine. It's just not acceptable. And yet no one is saying it's not acceptable. Everybody thinks it's okay, and so now others get bold, and they begin to speak, and they begin to say outrageous things, crude things, unfair things, unkind things. And who will God send to address these people who speak this way? Who will go on his behalf? You know, sometimes we give Nicodemus too much of a negative press. I want to remind you that Nicodemus is the one who, along with Joseph of Arimathea, were the ones who took Jesus' body after he was crucified and laid him in the tomb with respect. That something happened for Nicodemus out of that night in his encounter with Jesus. And even though then he did not seem to understand, he must have had a growing understanding of who this person was. He was not just anyone. He was just not a teacher, a rabbi. Maybe he began to see in him the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the one whom God sent not to condemn the world, but to spare and save the world from itself, to show it another way. And certainly Jesus' life displayed another way, a way we're to follow as his disciples. And yet, where are we bold and confident to speak out and to act on those things that need attention in our daily life? Every one of us, including myself, find ourselves in those uncomfortable positions almost every day or every week. The question is, who will be heard from in those circumstances? And when you know something's not right, what do we do? Do we do anything? Do we sit quietly and let it pass, missing another opportunity? Maybe if we were not to miss the opportunity, someone's life may be touched in a positive, life-changing way. And is that not what God wants us? To be the spark that catches the flame, to build the fire of God's love and justice and freedom and grace for all to live within it, within this kingdom that he speaks of. But sometimes, you know, it takes a different point of view. We get lost in our own world, in our own earthly view, and take a look from heaven, how God sees it, how God sees us, how God sees the world, how God sees how it should be. If we see it from that perspective, then it turns things upside down on itself. We discover the incredible opportunity to make a difference for others, make a difference for him with our lives. Isaiah did not feel himself worthy, but God chose him to speak for him. And so he chose to accept that commission to do so. And I think he comes to us at different times in our life and asks of us, what is it, the Lord, you require from me? What is it you want me to do? What is it you want me to say in this circumstance and that? I know I'm challenged every day with missed opportunities. And I realize that next time I get that opportunity, will I take advantage? Will I risk my reputation? Will I risk someone else's unfavorable view of me? So they may understand what an approving view one should have on another. The challenge comes at the end of the passage of Isaiah as whom shall be sent. But the key word is in John's Gospel. It talks about that God sent Jesus into the world not to condemn the world, but to save it. That if anyone believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And I would argue abundant life in the meantime as well. Because who are going to be the emissaries? Who are going to be the prophets of our time? Prophets in our life? Prophets in our workplace, our school place, our neighborhood, our council meetings, our government, our world? Isaiah was no more or less than you and me. Nicodemus was no more or less than you or me. So then we are worthy by God's way. Who shall go for him? Here I am, Lord. Send me. Thank you.